place, may we bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God, you are so wonderful and so great, the originator of every existence, with whom nothing can be. Father everlasting, we thank you for every opportunity you give us in life. We are so grateful that you graciously called us together to partake in this divine worship. Guide us through the power of your Holy Spirit and teach us your word that will enable us to live the life you want us to live and also fulfill the mission you entrusted into our hands on this earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So may I start by thanking God for bringing us together to participate in today's divine worship. I also thank God for the Christian love that is unmatched, which we all share in this place of worship. We continue to thank the pastors, elders, and members of Life Creek Church for selflessly accommodating us in this place of worship, treating us as brothers and sisters of the same Father in heaven, and enabling us to continue worshiping in this place. This move was actually started by Elder Frank, as he pointed out, who generously opened his hands in 2012 to accept us, and then took us and introduced us to Pastor Young, and then from Pastor Young to the elders of the church. And since then, they have kept us involved in activities in this church. So we're so grateful to God for this. This is the true Christian love. Then today, Pastor Tim has picked it up and went further by keeping us actively involved in more ministries of the church. We're so thankful to God for that. And to God be all the glory and honor in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So the theme for our message today is mission. We know that we are in the mission period. And the topic we are picking up in this is making disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. As we all know, a mission has multiple meanings. Few among them are the act or instance of sending any important task or duty that is assigned or allotted to people to carry out. Like you can say, mission team, a mission trip. And then the word mission is borrowed from a Latin word that is called missio, which means sending. So, and we know that this is how Jesus concluded his ministry. During his ministry on earth, he was sending his disciples to go and minister, reach out to communities around. And at the very end of his ministry, he sent his disciples to continue the work that he started. And that is why for the past 2,000 years, the word, the ministry, the mission has continued. And that is how it came to us. And we owe that debt of being sent to reach out further to people who are still in darkness. Therefore, we are taking our text to address this issue of mission from the Bible passage that he read. So the text is taken from Matthew 28, from 18 to 20. which says, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus has authority over heaven and earth. They were entrusted to him. He was empowered to take control of the heavens and the earth. So he said, "Go therefore in his own authority and make disciples of all nations." Make disciples of all nations. No restriction. Reach out to every nation. And in addition to that, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the task he gave to us. Reach out to nations. Don't just sit in a place to worship. You have received the gospel. Therefore, take the gospel further to other people. That is mission, sending. We are sent to reach out to other people. One of the things I was sharing with Pastor Tim is that what I enjoy most is preaching in different cultural areas. I was born in Nigeria. I preached a lot in Nigeria, traveling from one place to the other. Then from Nigeria, I moved to South Africa and led a church, had churches that I led. We were preaching. I had about 7 churches that I preached in, moving from one church to the other on Sunday. Then from South Africa, I was privileged to preach in Mozambique, which is Portuguese speaking. Then from there, I moved to Brazil and was privileged to preach in many churches in Brazil. And then from there, I came to the United States. And I've been in a couple of states before I arrived here. And when we came here, our brother, Elder Frank, and Pastor Young, and the elders graciously opened their hand and said, "Come and stay with us." What a Christian love. We thank God for that. So, Jesus, after his ministry on earth, sent his disciples. The first disciples that he worked with have all finished their task and gone. They did it well. That's why the gospel came to us. Pastor Tim was asking me about the ministry in Nigeria. I told him he'd be overwhelmed to see a lot of people clinging, holding on to Jesus Christ, because they know he is the only Savior they have. So it's in every culture, every nation, but still there are people that have not embraced Christ that we need to reach out to. That's why we must continue to work hard. Jesus gave us the charge to reach out to people. So it is our task to do that. And I want to ask a question. That question is, why are we here? Why are we here? Is our purpose of being here just to eat, grow, walk, marry, have children, get old, and die? Is that why we're here on earth? Is there any reason in your consideration why God placed you on this earth? And in this country, at this time, whether by birth or through immigration, you found yourself here, is there any reason why God made it to be? And is there any reason why you are privileged to be a child of God who follows Christ? Why there are millions of people around the world that don't have the same privilege and have remained in darkness? They are fellow human beings. We are privileged to have embraced Christ and worship him. But there are millions out there that are languishing in darkness, not yet reached. So why are we here? Why has God given us the authority? So a Bible lesson in Matthew says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. Those millions out there in darkness, touch them with the gospel. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all that I have commanded. The content of the ministry is all that Jesus commanded. We should not add or remove. So we carry all the message that Jesus gave to us and take them further to all the nations. So this is what Jesus has commanded us. And I believe that this is the answer to the question that I brought up earlier. Why are we here? To go and reach out to other nations. So this is God's goal for me and for you, to reach out to other nations. Also, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, the disciples of Jesus showed more concern for the kingdom of this world. Jesus redirected them on how to spend their life on earth. So in Acts 1, 6 to 9, it says, so when the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That is where their vision is. This life. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So he had been teaching them, but they had been thinking of how to work on the kingdom of this earth. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power. That is the authority given to Jesus. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Mission. The disciples were busy asking about things of this life. Will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Some people are often busy thinking about how to enrich themselves in this life. The concentration is about this life. Jesus said, leave that for the Father. But move out. Preach the gospel. Talk to the people about the Father. Carry the message I've given to you, beginning from Jerusalem, where you are staying. Talk to people around where you are living. Go beyond to Judea. Touch Samaria and go to the ends of the earth. That is the mission that Jesus gave us. You start from where you are. Talk to people at your place of work. Talk to your neighbors where you live. Talk to your friends. Ask them, where do you go to church? Do you believe in God? Do you worship anywhere? Is there any reason why you not go to church? Gradually, you start communicating the gospel. And then from there, go further. Have mission teams that we move together to nearby communities. Not just there. Go to people. Samaria at that time wasn't a friendly community to Israel. They once rejected Jesus when he wanted to go there. they said, don't come in. He left and bypassed them. But he said, go there. And from there, go to the ends of the earth. This is the commission. And that goes back to the question I asked earlier. Why are we here? Why are you here? Why are we in this life? Why were we born into this earth? Is it just to eat, grow, marry, have children, walk, and die? Or has God a purpose why he brought us into this life, made us Christian, kept us in this country that has a lot of abilities and opportunities to touch other places? Why are we here? That is for the mission of God. If you find yourself here, you are here for the mission of Christ, to carry his message further beyond yourself, beyond your community. So, Jesus said, you shall be my witness to the world. So Jesus constantly points to the same mission, and that is the mission of making disciples of all nations. In Matthew chapter 9, 38, 35 to 38, Jesus went about cities and villages preaching the good news of the kingdom and seeing the crowd, says, the harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The harvest is plentiful. Jesus said it 2,000 years ago. Today, the harvest is still plentiful. Why are there empty pews in churches? Go out to the street. You see lots of people busy walking their dogs, watching football games. No time for God. Sunday is meant to be a day of worship, but many people diverted it to a day of shopping, a day of watching football, a day of relaxing in their homes. They don't enter any church at all. So the harvest is plentiful. There is still a lot to be done. And Jesus says laborers are few. We'll not only reach out to people, we pray that God will send more people, more laborers into the harvest. Let more people be committed to preaching, to reaching out to people. That is the command that Jesus gave. Jesus knew why he was here and was faithful to his mission. He knew why he was here. That's why he was going around into the villages and was telling people, pray that God will send more people for the mission. And then he went to different cities. He told them, you carry the gospel beyond here to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, our eternal home. That is why he was here. He did it. So harvest is plentiful. Millions of people all over the world, yet unsaved. Laborers are few. Only very few people are committed to the mission. Are you committed to the mission? Are you ready to be sent? Will you be willing to answer God's call? Why are you here, and what are you doing with the time God has given you now on earth? What are you doing with the time that God has given you? Time is coming when that time will be taken away. Sometime it will be taken away, the time we have here on earth. How will you account for your life on earth if the life is taken, if the time is taken away? So in Matthew 10, 1 to 8, Jesus chose 12 disciples and sent them out to the cities and villages to reach out to the lost sheep. of Israel. God, they are still the sheep of God. They are still souls that belong to God, but they are lost. They missed their way. They didn't know how to come back to God, their creator. God wants us to go and help them to turn around and come back to God. So God called them lost sheep. Even in the Old Testament, before Jesus came to the earth, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" God was saying that. And God continues to ask the question, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah quickly answered, "Here am I, send me." Can you answer our Lord Jesus Christ the same way? Can you answer the same call? "Here am I, send me." I was talking with Pastor Tim about mission to Africa. I told him it's still important. There are still many people that are in darkness. People here are privileged. When you get to other places, you will see how people are suffering. So there is still need for mission beyond where we are. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God has constantly been calling people and sending them to the world to win souls back to him. And it has not ended. It's still going on. Why are these messages so important to God? Why is mission so important to God? John 3:16-18 says, "For God so loved the world." He doesn't hate the world. He loved the world, all of us from different nations, "that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Two things. Either you perish or you have eternal life. This is what God is after. And that is why he has continued to say, "Who will go for us? Who will go for me?" God does not want anybody to perish. God wants everybody to have eternal life. That's why he has constantly been sending people. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to live eternally with him. It is important to always remember what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. God wants sinners to be turned back to him. God wants sinners to be won back to him. That's why he is determined to see that we reach out to people. God does not want anybody to perish. The devil, Satan, rebelled against God and wants humanity to perish. The devil wants humanity to perish with him and his demons. He makes people to rebel against God. God does not want anybody to perish. So it's a fight between light and darkness. We are already in the light. We need to pull people out from darkness into light. If you cannot go, you support people who can go in every way, through prayers and through resources, because God does not want anybody to perish. We must urgently work with God to save souls, starting from where we are now, around us, to the world. The parable of the lost sheep, lost coin, or prodigal son, the Bible says there is joy in heaven when one soul is converted. You see, what makes the angels to be joyful? When he talked about the lost coin, and she found the lost coin and rejoiced. And Jesus concluded, there is joy in heaven when any soul is won back for God. How do you think the angels will be joyful. How much joy will they have for you who helped that soul to come back? And at the parable of the lost sheep, it ended up with, there is joy in heaven. The parable of the prodigal son ended up with, there is joy in heaven. So, that is the task. That is why we are here. That is why God has given us the opportunity to be on this earth. So we need to constantly seek the things of God, things that will please God, things from above. The disciples were looking for things from below, but Jesus redirected them to things from above. And in Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 4, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above. Things that please God. Things that will please God. Seek those things. Where Christ is. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear in glory with him. But this is time to walk. So where does the pleasure of this life lie? In food, money, house, vehicles? Is that the pleasure we have in this life that will prevent us from answering to the call of God? Many people are consumed in that. Many people are right now eating, drinking. They won't do the work of God. We will leave the things of this life and return to God when the time comes. And when the time comes, when we spend eternity with God, what will you tell him that you did? The ministry, the mission may be hard. Jesus was rejected in many places. He was killed. James was killed. Peter was imprisoned. Paul was stoned. They continued. The ministry may not be easy. The early missionaries that went to Africa and to other places, some of them were killed. And worst of all, some were killed and were eaten by people. They saw them, their skins were different. So when people saw them, they thought they would be good meat. They ate them in Africa. So, but the mission continued. And the people were still won for Christ. The mission may not be easy. You may encounter some setbacks. But remember, Jesus said, I will be with you. So, prepare for the mission. That is why we are here. After this life, we'll give account to God. When you appear before God, when this life is over, what will you tell him you did with the life he gave you? May we bow down our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to be unequivocally obedient to you by enabling us to respond to your call to mission of making disciples of all nations. Inspire us, O Lord, to touch the world around us with the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to be true believers in him. Be committed to him and live a life of absolute obedience to our only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.